We're rolling. Do you hear the music yet, Tar? Do you hear it? How about now?
No.
I'm just kidding to fuck with you guys.
When are you going to start playing it?
I'm here. No, I'm over here. Dr. Tar.
Professor Feather.
I can't fly.
Dr. Exploding Head. And you are experiencing...
Practically.
Right. Today, tonight, yesterday, maybe tomorrow, we're going to talk about our favorite or the most impressive practical effects that we have seen on film. All right. None of the CGI. Matte paintings are cool. Appliances are cool. Constructions are awesome. Practical effects. All right, so let's start off. Let's just go with what do you think is the best practical effects you've ever seen in a movie? Let's start with Dr. Tar.
Oh, best? I don't know.
Best. Hard. I know. I ask only the hard questions, and I want soft answers. Maybe.
I guess I was thinking more along the lines of
one of your favorites. What's one of your favorites, like practical effects?
Well, obviously Harryhausen.
Okay. Yeah.
Those I loved, but like realistic wise, Dame Irsen still. When I first saw that, I just thought that was thought that seemed realistic to me.
Yeah.
Little kid. which is a little different from Forbidden Planet, which I. Yeah, I love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I guess I kind of review them all a little different. And then I saw Deluge, which is like 1933. Feather, have you seen that one?
Yes.
Deluge?
Yes.
The effects of the New York sinking under the sea is pretty impressive.
Pretty good. Yeah, it is.
It's kind of, yeah. That the first apocalyptic movie, yeah, that was kind of weird.
Yeah. But, well, I think
and Méliès, you know, George Méliès, when he first started
Trip to the Moon,
yeah. I mean, he may not have been the first to actually do some of the effects, but he like standardized or whatever you want to call the paintings and his magician effects and some. Camera effects, and special effects, So,
well, I think it's interesting that you said Day of the Earth Stood Still and Forbidden Planet because you have two iconic robots in those two films,
right?
Yeah, that are actual
physical. But they're like completely different, though.
Yeah,
too,
absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I always like Gort because he looked like
He's seamless. Suggested. You know, like the ship becomes seamless. You know, they couldn't find any doorway and just standing there without the scene, without any really features. That's what I love about him. He's so menacing. You know? Definitely.
And he's like, and the ship was like that too. No seams, no.
And Forbidden Planet
alien. Has
gorgeous sets. The backdrops, the matte paintings, the deep sets. I could just watch it just for the look of the film. I absolutely love the look of that film. Yeah.
And it's just full of practical effects. And it's
so cool.
I think for a certain time, that's all we had was practical effects. And I think that's kind of where we'll end up diving into, even though there's some stuff going on now that people are going back to practical effects, which I think are good.
And they still employ it with, you know, certain movies. And
they do. Yep.
More than you think, I guess. And it's just.
So what about you, Dr. Head? What's your.
I would think that Carpenter's remake of The Thing is a hallmark of high practical effects. You know, no CG, everything was practical effects. And some of the things they did were able to do, like the scene where the guy's getting, you know, his heart attack, he's getting pumped, you know, the defibrillator, and his chest just opens up and like bites off the guy. It is so creepy and scary. You know, The first time you see the thing, you know, where that's the big dog conglomeration, and this weird things coming, like flower things, appendages coming out, and all the creepy corn and shit all over the place. Yeah. And then the head with the grows the spider legs and starts crawling away. I mean, there are just so many wonderful scenes that are just still really effective. You know, 45 years later, this movie is still as effective as it was then. So. Yeah, for me, that's a hallmark right there.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a bomb when it came out. People didn't go see it. It was not popular. It it gained popularity on VHS, you know, which was...
I saw it at the Clayzel, believe it or not. Yeah.
Well, there's a documentary about it coming out, or out now, coming out and playing in theaters, called The Thing Extended, which is all about the making of, and it looks like it'd extended. Be pretty good. Yeah. So
it was Rob Bottin that was doing most of that stuff, which is, you know, we'll see.
He was like,
he'll probably come up a lot. You know, there's a bunch of them that
he was like 22 at the time, wasn't he? It like it fucked him up a little bit because he was like the pressure of doing everything.
Yeah.
He was young. Yeah.
They do these. They have these mega documentaries that are out that are like 6 hours long. So there's three of them for the 80s. They just did one that's like 6.5 hours long for the late 90s in terms of like horror movies, and just them talking about the effects and all that kind of stuff that go on with those is pretty interesting because they go really in depth with everything, and they interview a ton of people, like a ton of really famous people. So I mean, things like Castle Freak and you know, which another, if you look at Castle Freak, that's some pretty fucking impressive special effects that are practical effects.
The movie is terrible, but the effects are good.
All right, how about you, Professor Feather?
The tumbling room that they constructed for Inception.
Oh yeah.
That absolutely brilliant.
Yep.
That's practical effects at its height, you know. Mm-hmm. You couldn't do anything more impressive than that, you know.
What was the Fred Astaire one where you did the tumbling room?
Yeah.
Dancing on the seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they started doing those. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I just think that was just amazing. And I'm a big fan of the movie too. So, you know, I really like the movie, and I think, you know, just that just has such a reality to it. To what isn't reality, which I think is just fucking great, you know? Yeah.
Especially when they juxtapose it with a ton of CGI stuff, which are amazing. You know, the Foley cities and all that kind of stuff. And they did that kind of in Doctor Strange as well, where you have
kind of
kaleidoscopic
Dark City.
Oh, Dark City. We should do
that. Was a lot of practical effect.
Yeah, we should do an episode on that. That's a really good one. Mm-hmm.
That's my pick for what I, you know, one of the best. Yeah. You know, I think.
Well, I was going to go with a couple of things only because it's Douglas Trumbull, and that's 2000, A Space Odyssey. And then also he did Blade Runner. And those effects are all practical. They're all like shot miniatures and a lot of
practical effects. Yeah.
And I look at 2001 A Space Odyssey and I'm like, that is phenomenal. Like their special effects today are better than a lot of the CGI stuff that we see. You know, it is amazing what they've done with all of that. You know, the speed and all that kind of stuff. But yeah,
and the ship never survived. That's the thing. It like got disappeared or didn't survive or something. So when they had to do the sequel in 84, like 2010, they had to like just look at pictures and stills and of the ship and try to recreate it as closely as they could.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah.
I actually like, what is it, 2010? Was that the...
Yeah.
That was a sequel that came out in 80s.
I like that movie every bit as much as I do 2001. Sorry, my dog is...
Yep.
Let me call, but shut up! The undying monster. We could do this all night here. Okay.
Okay, talk amongst yourselves.
Another movie I think has great special effects, 1978, Dawn of the Dead. A lot of Tom Savini horror effects, and a lot of them, even though the makeup looks all blue because that's what they had, and even though the paint, the blood looks like theater paint on film, but there are some really groundbreaking special effects, like when the Frankenstein zombie walks into the helicopter. They had like six slices of his skull built up, and they had a fishing line and attached it to a little motor. We're like, it like took him off in a series of successions.
Brilliant, very cool,
wonderful. And the, when the people are getting ripped open, and like guts are being pulled out, like I had like, holy fuck, that was really awesome.
Well, that happens in Night of the Living Dead too.
It does.
You know?
It does. Well, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it was a...
A little more subtle. It's not as...
Well,
it's a little more subtle, but
Not much, you know?
I haven't seen...
No, I didn't mean that. Yeah. They're pulling guts
I think
out,
I saw Dawn before I saw Night.
Oh, did you?
I think, yeah.
Did you? Oh.
I think, yeah. I mean, I might have seen bits and pieces. I just didn't remember it.
But, right.
You know, I think Dawn had those, like, where the guy bites at the shoulder that looks so realistic.
Yeah. And then the arm.
Yeah. It looked like meat.
Yeah, you didn't see... That's what you didn't see in Night of the Living Dead. You know what I mean? That was... There was, like...
They were eating the flesh and stuff, but there was not a lot of that.
No tearing.
More suggested than...
And that bite... that you get on the arm where the woman screams, that she screams because the guy bit through the prosthesis and right into her arm and took a big chunk out of her arm.
He doesn't do it once, he does it twice.
So that scream is real. Yeah.
So, hey, practical effects for you.
Yeah, really practical.
Well, and then you get into Fulci stuff that was
like Zombie is really hardcore. And that one, when I saw that one in the drive-in, and I was just like, holy fuck, that's just insane.
Herschel Gordon Lewis, if we're going
I am Montag, West Revolution. Yeah.
Don't I know it? Yes.
We love... When you watch Wizard of Gore, I mean, that is some of the most ridiculous special effects, but they are like silly and outrageous.
But they are practical.
They are practical. Right. We're going to try to spike into this like mannequin head.
Yeah.
And, you know, but then we're going to be playing with like bowl, you know, spaghetti in our fingers and like, look at the guts. No, it's hysterical and wonderful.
Spook show. Yeah.
Look at the Universal. The special effects we talked about, Wolfman, that's a practical effect, a transformation, but more graphic transformations. I think maybe Gadfly was going to mention this with Rob Bottin. Is we have The Howling, and then we have also the other fantastic werewolf movie, American Werewolf in London.
Yep. That's the most notable, that transformation. That's the most notable thing he's done. He did up to, I mean, that's one of the most notable things he's ever done. That is good.
It is.
How about Videodrome and, what was the other one? Scanners.
Oh, yeah, with the exploding head. Yeah, that was awesome.
Was that before or after, after Dawn?
Scanners was 81. Right? That's Scanners was 81. Yeah.
That is Dick Smith. He was.
Yeah,
quite the makeup artist for a while.
And American Werewolf in London was Rick Baker.
Baker.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. Bottin did The Howling. Right.
Baker. That's right. Now you're
American Werewolf. Right. Yeah.
The American Werewolf. It Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But that's still one of the best things I've ever done.
On the on the documentary, I heard his name Botine. Rob Botine.
Yeah. Okay, Botine. Okay. Yeah. I'd always just guessed, you know, never knowing, never heard.
I just
Botine.
I just kept hearing people talk about him, and it was always Botine. So.
Botine. Yeah. All right. Botine. But Rob Botine's makeup is amazing in the Howling. Yes. Well,
and that's great because we have Rob Botine, we have Rick Baker, and we have Screaming Mad George, who does a bunch of fucking great
shit. He was fun.
Well, Society. Have you guys seen the movie Society?
Yeah.
That is fucked up shit. All right. That is Cronenberg level fucked up shit.
Body horror stuff. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, that's him. He Screaming Mad George also did the one monster in Big Trouble in Little China that's in the caves that comes out. And like,
oh, the wild man guy, or
not the wild man, but the it's like a serpent thing that has the tongue that comes out.
Oh, that's so, okay. Yeah,
that was Screaming Mad George. I think the other one was Rob Botine or Rick. No, it was Rick Baker. I think it was Rick Baker that was doing that. So, I don't know. I have to look that up. But yeah, but Cronenberg, you know, speaking of Cronenberg, great with the practical effects. He had the best exploding head, original exploding head, right? Mm-hmm. With scanners. Yeah,
for scanner.
Yeah. And then,
The Fly.
The Fly. That's what I was going to say. Fucking disgusting. Like, just disgusting.
Frontal Fly.
Frontal Fly.
You know, most generally, I don't like remakes.
Yeah.
But I took exception at that one. I really like that. You know, I love the original, but that's... just a whole different take that's so good, you know?
I mean, this was as jarring as probably The Fly was to the 50s audiences that saw it, you know,
Fly. I saw that in the 50s, you know?
Yeah,
I saw it.
Yeah. And then the sequel, I thought, was even creepier with the guy with his half hamster. Yeah. That fucked me up. I'm like, oh my Jesus God, because I had a hamster.
Yeah,
you know, I'm like, dude,
I totally forgot about that. The third one or something like that.
Well, the original, the original Fly,
and then he steps on it. Oh my God, that was
The original was Fly was so like etched into my mind ever since I saw that. Was help me, like that thing was. You're just like, that's fucked me up. I'm just like, that's creepy as shit.
There's a story that supposedly Bryce and the other guy that he was with kept laughing. Keep redoing this whole scene all the time.
Help me.
Yeah, it took him a bunch
more
of takes.
More helium.
It took him a bunch of takes before they could like stop laughing to do it. Yeah.
Oh, and who was the fly? Who played the fly? Or the Dr.
Marty McFly?
Yeah. And then he was on Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
David Henning.
I don't know.
David Henning.
Anyway, it was David Henning. It was the captain of the Sea View in the TV show. What was it?
Yeah, and yes, co-starring Richard Basehart.
Yes, pretty much. And Sparky. And.
So what about go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say we have a whole slew of Japanese kaiju movies all used, until the very recent ones have used all practical you know, hand puppets or people in costume or like large, you know, like the feet. Sometimes you'll see a foot smashed down, it'll just be an actor with like a big foot prop, you know. But all those beautiful models and sets, and some of them get destroyed, and I feel bad.
They're war movies.
Yes, they did the war movies. You see a lot of scale size, you know, aircraft carriers and planes, and you know,
Tsuburaya. Tsuburaya effects did some Frank Sinatra movie. What was that?
Around the Island.
He farmed out to them, and they it's like some co-production or whatever.
Yeah,
but anyway, they did the effects for that, and it's just as good as anything else at the time, I think.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Yeah, we. So, what about the Predator, Stan Winston?
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, his
Stan Winston. Yeah, he's Yeah, you could talk about him all in one.
Yeah, episode. He also did Pumpkinhead.
Yep, Pumpkinhead was great.
He did a lot.
Yeah. Winston had a whole school of arts. Like he had like Tom Savini, a makeup special effects. Tom Winston did like the school of arts where you learn how to build these things. And you know, and I always wanted to be a makeup artist. Like I loved the process, but I couldn't draw for shit. So I'm like, oh fuck, I can't draw, I can't sculpt, I can't be a makeup artist. Okay. Yeah.
That didn't stop anybody at trauma.
No, I guess not. Well, which one do you like better, Gadfly, of the Stan Winston creations? Do you like the Pumpkinhead or do you like the Predator?
I would not. I think that's apples and oranges. I think one is science fiction, alien. One is horror, you know.
Supernatural horror.
But I mean, as far as effects go, like Stan Winston did the...
I'm sorry. I love them. I can't choose one.
Gotcha.
Because the guy that was in the costume for Pumpkinhead was also one of the people that helped sculpt it for Stan Winston.
Oh, nice.
And he had to wear these weird feet, you know, that were angled. They were like extensions and stuff. And there's just the way it looks and it's lit is just amazing.
But then
you've got Predator, which is this alien thing where the design is like crazy, you know, imaginative, and but also like natural, like there's nature involved with, you know, what they were doing with that kind of stuff. That's a hard one to choose from, you know.
But Danny, do you like the Aliens 2, the Queen, and
I love that.
And, Alien, we have a
and what was the other one? Didn't he work the first Jurassic Park? Did they build like the dinosaurs?
The T-Rex?
Yeah. They had that big animatronic one. But then, you know, that's when Phil Tippett was the guy that was doing, he was going to be doing, what is it?
The animation for that.
The animation, the physical animation. But then these guys came in with the computers and showed them how they could do all of this stuff. But they still combine those. And I used to wonder how it is they got like the velociraptors to come up to that door and breathe on the door and make it look real. Well, it was a real model that walked up and
it was a real velociraptor.
It was a real velociraptor.
We made one for the movie.
Yeah. There's that. I love it when they can blend those two, when you don't know if it's practical effects or if it's 3D modeled.
Yes. Yeah. And you see an awful lot of that in Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Trilogy. Yeah. It was
and I mean, done well.
The theater on film, it looked amazing. Some of the effects look cartoony. Once they transferred it to digital, those effects lose a depth of color. They look more shallow. They look more obvious now, cartoony. That's the only problem that I have with transferring over to video. But they were absolutely beautiful effects. And like, then you realize every time you see an orc or someone wearing armor or carrying a sword, those were all made for the movie.
Yep.
You know, like every piece of armor was made. Like if it's a ringmail, like someone who's an armorer made a whole sheet, you know, mail, you know, per, and they've had hundreds of these.
He built the fucking village.
Yeah.
He grew the village.
It's still there.
He grew it. Yeah. You can go visit it.
What a fucking practical effect.
Yeah, like he planted it in like for like 3 years, just let it grow. So it'd be all.
That's got to have a record. That's got to be a record. Seriously, think about it.
Imaginable, yes.
And it looks amazing on film. It does. Yeah. Yes.
Well, and here's what you do on your TV. Just go to the sharpness setting and set it all the way down as low as it'll go. And that'll get rid of the kind of videotape looking part of that. So. Yeah, works really well. It's because it just softens all those really ridiculously fucking hard edges. Anyway, the Hobbits, those are great, and I love the fact that he did forced perspective.
Yeah.
So a lot of that wasn't digitally making people bigger and stuff. They did all this, you know, kind of weird stuff, which was I thought amazing.
We'll go back.
Another very practical effect.
Mm-hmm. You know, go back into Peter Jackson's. Early history with practical effects.
Yeah, that's true.
Bad taste. Oh my God, the whole budget was going to buying film, but a lot of, and it took him 7 years to shoot that movie.
That's so funny.
And because it just
Dead Alive.
Oh yeah, Dead Alive was great. We had a budget.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Dead Alive.
And he used it. Yeah. like the goriest film I think I've ever seen is Dead Alive. I just so much blood, just so much blood.
Kick ass for the Lord.
Yeah.
What's the? Is it bad taste where he keeps stuffing brains back into his head?
Yeah, that's Derek. Around?
Yeah,
yeah.
Derek's. Yes. Yep. Yeah, Derek's don't
Derek!
Die.
I'm a Derek. And Derek's don't run.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he has a little machine gun. He shoots all the bullets out. And he's like runs out, and then the aliens come in. So just goes. Yeah. And the aliens like, oh, I'm not sure. Yeah. It's. I do. I like showing that movie to people who've never seen it. Like, you know, that's, and we watched that actually this year, Mrs. Head, and last year for our Halloween month, it was Haramity was the theme. So I thought, oh, this will be a good one, you know, and she thought it was bonkers. She liked it.
It is bonkers, yeah.
Yeah. I think her favorite of them, well, she loves Shaun of the Dead, but I think they, One Cut of the Dead. I think.
Yes. And, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yes, yes, just yes. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Shaun of the Dead is one of my favorites.
Yeah. So good.
Well, what about, you know, I'll start at the epitome of his practical effects run with George Miller's Fury Road.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
The practical effects in that movie are just totally insane. But they were pretty, you know, good in all of the movies, actually. All of
them, yeah.
But that one is just that. Okay, we're just going to, you know, what's the phrase? Balls to the wall.
Yeah. Furiosa uses a lot of CG and it shows.
Yeah. But, yeah, but. Uses a very lot of all of the car crashes and most of the stuff is is real, you know.
Yeah,
and all of that, you know, all of the chases and all of that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. There is some. You know, no, you're right. You're right. I'm not. I wasn't.
Yeah. Oh no, but the practical stuff, the real stuff, the stuff that counts.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. You put it on the road, and then some of those effects are still involved. But they're still involved the digital stuff, like the when they're hanging like underneath. Because I was like, oh my god, because everything else I know is real. But then I saw how they were shooting those. I'm like, oh, okay, so they're not really moving at 90 miles an hour. Because I'm really concerned about this actor getting run over. Because the other things were real, the guys on the poles and all these things, and there's like so much activity going on. You know, so much opportunity for someone to screw up and like seriously.
I think somebody. With the Road Warrior, somebody did die.
Oh, really?
There was that. Was there, there was that. If you watch the thing, there's the guy.
Yes, that's on the Knight Rider.
The guy that's on the back of the truck. There's this like seat that flips off, and that dude didn't make it. I mean, it really flipped off.
Oh, you know? Really?
Yeah, I'm almost positive because I was watching about that.
Explosions.
Look at
how about Jack Pierce and the Planet of the Apes? I think it was Jack Pierce.
Oh no, right? That was Chamberlain. Pierce. What's his name? Richard. What's his
Chambers?
Name?
John Chambers. John Chambers.
Yes. And he did like the Time Machine, the Morlocks.
Okay.
That kind of appliance thing.
I was so, like the makeup in the first one is so good. The, you know, the main simians and I like the look of the spaceship. You know, I like the matte painting. You see the statue, all those things. There's just a lot of things I like.
About it sounded like the Jupiter 2 when it crashed.
Nobody died on the Road Warrior. It was a myth.
Oh, good. Yeah. Just like someone you don't get to see hanging in what Wizard of Oz, like one of the Munchkins hanging in the back, right? Yeah. Okay.
It was Pete Barbuti.
Yes. It was Pete Barbuti.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. What other effects do you like? So we talked about Alien and all the aliens, right? I think each one of those,
Kronos. Mm-hmm.
Kronos, yes.
As cheesy as that is, when I was a little kid, that was so cool. That was, you know, that sleek cube looking, you know, cylinders and and then it grows because it sucks up energy and stuff. But when it initially appears, you know, on the beach and all that stuff and everybody, and the music, of course. But I thought that was pretty cool. I like that.
It's a fun movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got two that I want to look at. One is the fantastic and horrifying makeup effects in The Exorcist.
Mm.
And then also, to the lesser degree, the wonderful simple effects of the fog. A light and a fog machine cause so much creepiness. Yeah. And then the way the you know, there's the practical effects of the ship, the galleon that they see, and then there's some pirates. When you finally see them, they're mostly in shrouded, but you can see little close-ups here but near. But it's real all practical effects, and And then
that's another movie that got dissed when it came out that people didn't.
The fog, I love the fog. Yeah.
Oh no, I liked it too.
Yeah.
But it didn't do all that well when it came out.
I would throw Evil Dead 2 in there.
Mm-hmm.
With all its crazy effects.
I was thinking.
Yeah.
That is a good one.
Yeah, in Evil Dead, the first one, there was so much gore and inventive effects. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Well, what was that before? The remake of this Twilight Zone that. Why am I thinking that? Was that a Stan Winston thing?
Or Creep
the
Show.
Rabbit. Do you remember the Creep Show is a good one? That was Tom Savini.
Tom Savini, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did Creep Show.
Well, he also he called Rob Bottin to ask him how to do all of that kind of animatronic stuff because he'd never done it before. And he said he had a conversation over the phone and he goes, okay, I can do it. And he went and created it. So
wow, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
cool. Those guys are all like, they're not competitive. That's what's great about them. You hear them talking about each other on these documentaries as if they're just like, yeah, we can call up so-and-so. I called up Tom Savini because I'm like, how do you do this or whatever, you know?
Oh, that's awesome. I love that they have that relationship. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. And the effect in like the lonesome death of Jordy Verrill. You know, I know they really wanted to use a real shotgun. That was the original thing. Because I had a Tom Savini book back when I was doing the makeup, interested in becoming a makeup artist. And he talked about that. And they really wanted a shotgun, but they were inside of a studio. And they didn't want to, like, shoot stuff inside the studio. So they rigged up in a small explosive. But he still wishes they could have used a shotgun for real.
Didn't he do that with, what was that slasher movie? The Prowler or something like that. He jumps up on the hood and he shoots his own head through the window.
Oh, I don't know.
Got like an X rating, the Prowler.
No, it's
along those lines. But anyway, it's him. He made his own head in the car.
Oh,
but
I see. He
jumps up on the
isn't it
hood of the car.
It's Maniac. Isn't it Maniac?
Is it?
I think it's Maniac. Yeah, because he talks about Maniac.
Oh, that could be.
And the fact
Maniac's pretty disgusting.
They had no anything they did. They, you know, shooting that shotgun, all that stuff was totally illegal because they were in New York City. And he goes, and that car is still sitting in the bottom of the bay. We drove it in there without any, you know.
Oh my God.
And he goes, and it's got a dummy of me in there, and Tom Savini with no head. So if they ever discover, they're like, what the fuck? Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
My God, he was made of latex.
What about Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
There's a lot. You know, that's some good practical effects. In
There's
that
some
movie.
Devil's Rain in that one with the milk.
And that's true. Yeah. I think
right.
Matte paintings. I've always liked.
Yeah, matte paintings.
People that did matte paintings, and some of them did, you know, as someone you don't recognize, but...
Yeah.
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 When I love the scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where he falls in with the snakes, and he's terrified of snakes, and you see the one that's going to... Well, he was not in any danger because there was a glass between those two, but if you really look at it, you can see it.
You can see a reflection.
Yeah.
So I thought that was great. Yeah.
Another movie. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Talk.
No, go ahead.
Some of the effects in the Disney's The Black Hole are really wonderful.
Yeah.
As well.
They really are.
You know, yeah. I love the robots. Mm-hmm. The animation of The Black Hole, you know, that's hand drawn. That's cell, cool. Beautiful cell animation drawn by hand. Mm-hmm. I love
that. And who's the mad artist? And he, like, oh.
I don't know the matter. Yeah,
Ellison, something like that. But he goes all the way back to like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, okay.
Like the, that's a good one. The ships in the harbor.
Yeah.
When you first see that, that was all a matte painting and stuff. That, mm-hmm. that looks good, I think. But yeah. But it was him. It was like one of his last movies or whatever.
Okay.
He did. I think he did like the spaceship or that.
Well, the scene at the end when the asteroid's like rolling through. I mean, it's a sphere, but it's still rolling through the spaceship and destroying stuff. That's really still very creepy. It was effective.
Peter Ellenshaw and his son Harrison Ellenshaw.
Ellenshaw, yeah, that's it.
Those are the guys who did it for Black Hole. But yeah, I remember seeing that. We saw that at the drive-in. I didn't particularly like the movie. But I loved all the visuals of it, you know, and mm-hmm. I remember getting like the robots, you could buy them,
yeah.
Or you got them at a Happy Meal or something like that.
And
they popped up and the arms extended and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh, those are so awesome. There was the big cool. Maximilian.
More than me.
Yeah, Maximilian's great.
And the small one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one sounded like Slim Pickens?
Vincent is the smaller one. Yeah. That was the other guy. Yeah. What was the guy who did the voice for Mr. Haney? It was him, I think.
No, Mr. Haney. It wasn't Mr. Haney.
It was Slim Pickens. Oh, okay.
Slim Pickens, yeah.
He rode the bomb down in Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah. What was his name, Pat? What was Mr. Haney's name? I don't forget his real name. But what about the entire, I mean, this is kind of engulfs a big bunch of movies, but the Batman franchise.
Oh, okay.
You know, think about those movies and the practical effects and how different directors used practical effects.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty interesting, you know, and there's a, you know, because they're all, you know, pretty much, you know, a combination and here and there. But the first one, I think, you know, was a lot of practical effects in the first one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And that,
well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, like Pee Wee Herman. When Tim Burton coming on the scene.
You think Tim Burton, a lot of practical effects for Tim Burton. Yeah.
Yep.
Ghostbusters. John would be all over that.
Yep.
A good combination.
Yeah. You had to have a Slimer puppet being manipulated inside special effects all around it, kind of thing.
Even the marshmallow guy, the guy in a suit, you know, kaiju style. You know,
what, Gadfly?
Jaws. I think.
Bruce.
They did with that was pretty good. Yeah. You know, even, I mean, it looks kind of phony in places, but it's to the editing and just the shooting and all that stuff really just kind of negates all that kind of stuff. But
under all the adverse conditions and everything, too. You know?
And a clever way to shoot around a non-working shark.
Yes.
They established the shark as real.
Which made it better.
Yeah.
It made it better.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. 100%. Having those barrels, like you could, it was just as good as seeing a fin.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, because the barrels were way behind.
Better.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I loved it. It's still the most effective part. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's great. You know? Yeah. Now, Jaws is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would, Hellraiser. There's another one.
Yeah.
The makeup with the pinhead, I'd have to think about that. All the designs.
I'm still not impressed with that. It was all right. I mean, they look gross and all that. Just, you know, where I kind of lost it was when they used that. It was about the time they started using that cheesy animated electrical effects.
Yeah.
You know, look around the cube and all that. It just, I don't know. I guess I was never a fan of that.
It looked too much like Forbidden Planet when it did that.
I like some of the schlocky movies that came out in the 80s. Their practical effects, like Basket Case.
Oh,
And Reanimator, you know. All those like horror sci-fi schlock fest. There's, you know, I mean, Basket Case is such a bad movie, but it's so great to finally see the twin, you know, inside the basket. It's just
Did you watch the other two?
Yes, I did.
The third one's really good.
A wonderful
good.
Trilogy.
The third one's really good. That's the one that's
good. The third one's just hilarious.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Just, I think this is the best. I think that's Screaming Mad George, too. The one I was thinking of is Head of the Family.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was...
Who was that? Was that Charles Band?
Yeah, it was Charles Band. They also did Forced Perspective. So, like, the head really wasn't that big. They literally had the way they
shot that's it. Fantastic. Yeah, I remember the one that came in the video store because I love the artwork. I'm like, I'm going to take that home.
Did you watch it?
I did. It was just silly. It was a great movie for a stink bowl. Like, my God, this is great.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, too.
Oh, yeah. And who did the special effects? Tom Savini.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Tom Savini did the effects.
Second one?
Yeah. That's right. LG getting the hammer beat to death, and he's got that stands up, and there's a whole side of him carved off, you know? After that movie, I always wanted to have electric knife at Thanksgiving.
You know whose movies I hate, but who uses practical effects is Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Poorly.
Well,
they're unnecessary. And they're not good.
But he uses them.
He uses them.
We got to throw Star Wars in there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The first Star Wars. Yeah.
Trilogy. It's a great combination of practical and digital. You know, and when everybody's starting to use that and think about how you can incorporate.
Well, they spearheaded so much, innovated so much effects and how to do things. And so, that's really kind of was amazing in and of itself. We can see how much better they got with every movie, like how many more ships they could put in a one shot in a dogfight scene. Or by the time Return of the Jedi comes around, there's like 50 ships going on. Like, holy fuck, that was just amazing, you know?
And more stop motion towards the end of the first trilogy, too, you know, because you get a little bit of stop motion when they're doing the what is it? The chess thing that they're playing, the game.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
In the second one, you get the tauntauns. There's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Some animated
stop animation.
Yeah, that was Phil Tippett doing the tauntauns.
All Phil Tippett there, and that's if you watch him when they start talking about this whole thing, he went into deep depression when digital came out because his thing almost became obsolete. You know what I mean? So, and he was like, I can't fault it because I see the results. You know. He's like, but I spent my whole life building armatures and doing this particular thing, and it's no longer wanted. So, but then he did Mad God, so his own opus,
which is
pretty wild. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, there's another one, practical effects all the way.
Yeah. The Descent, practical effects.
Yes,
really creepy practical effects. Not just
move on.
With the cave, right?
Claustrophobia. Oh, yeah. No.
Okay, we'll talk about practical effects in The Descent Part 2. So,
let's kind of retrograde to
They were good. I mean, really good. Just
very effective.
League of.
How about the?
I look at them through my pallor of very skewed vision.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Mr. Hyde
was a big prosthetic that he fucking wore and did all kinds of stuff with, which was crazy.
How about the George Pal movies? All those stuff that have his practical effects, when the worlds collide and...
Yeah, War of the Worlds.
And War of the Worlds.
Those ships, those big ships are gorgeous. I'd love to have one, put it in the corner.
Because
they were big. I'm like, that'd be so awesome to have.
They were nice.
Seven Faces of Dr. Lao.
Yeah. Planet of the Vampires.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Eraserhead.
Erase
No, I gotta look. No.
Getting you back.
I didn't bring up Descent.
Tremors. has a lot
of Tremors. Yes,
Tremors has yeah, that's true.
Stan Winston again, I think.
Yeah. Wouldn't that Stan Winston?
I believe so. Yeah, the Greasy Strangler. Come on.
that one prosthetic, yeah.
And the grease, and the grease,
and
the grease. That was a real prosthetic. A car wash he was in.
Car wash, yeah. It was a practical effect.
Practical soap.
How about Mikey, Portrait of a Serial Killer?
Oh yes,
there's some practical effects going on.
Some fantastic practical effects.
I know.
You mean when Dr. Tarr looks at the camera? That was magic.
That was one of the most priceless.
That was practical. Like, that was gold.
Don't look at the camera. Don't look at the camera. Oh, come on. Yeah, we'll turn that into a drinking game. Like what people have done with Cyclops. Every time you see someone look at a script, they drink. I'm like, oh, you guys are going to get smashed.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Tarr never proclaimed to be an actor. So
what is what is the term for that? They call it spiking the lens, right?
Yes.
When somebody looks into the camera, it's spiking the lens.
Spiking the lens.
That's fantastic. And I'm proud to say that Cyclops movies used practical effects.
Yes.
Until Quest for Uranus. Then we found some digital effects online. And I got the sound. It was on a say. It was like the sound used by Hanna-Barbera for Space Ghost. You know, the lasers. Yes. Choo-choo-choo. Yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
And a couple other things. I'm like, yeah, why not? You know, and it was all green screen, which is still a practical effect of a sort, but
of a sort.
But still, the first two, you know, all the homemade blood. And my favorite shot
practically nothing.
In the Sorority Sisters, there's a shot where the Sorority Sisters, a couple of them, are talking at one of the girls' houses about like how to raise money, and in the back, right behind on the counter in the kitchen, you see the bottle of fake blood that I had prepared for that day's shoot. It was like a. Like a juice bottle, like a, you know, 32 ounce or 64 ounce big juice bottle. I'm like, oh, a good thing it looks like juice. Because otherwise, right in the middle of the shot, fake blood.
You know? I think that's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah. Because I didn't see it the first time. It was like, it took me like about the third time I saw it. I'm like, wait a minute. I think that's. And I was with some other people in the movie, like,
is that blood?
I think that's the bottle of fake blood we used. Everyone started laughing.
I would say the Terminator, the first one.
Yes.
Also
some great
Yeah.
I was going to say mention that one.
The second one, too. I mean, the second one had a lot of CG, but then there was all those silly appliances. Right. And when the Terminator gets split in half.
Yeah.
You know, really, really, really good.
Yeah, a good combination of the two, I think, you know.
Total Recall.
Total Recall, yeah.
Yeah.
Quato.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's some
Jerry Cab. Jerry Cab.
Yeah, Jerry Cabs. What about Legend?
Yeah, I was gonna say Legend's another one. Yeah,
I like Legend. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. That's why I said it. And
set is amazing. Tim Curry looks great.
Yep.
A Company of Wolves also has that really beautiful set like that. You know, with Angela Carter's story. Yeah.
Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Brotherhood of the Wolf. Yeah.
I was thinking that as soon as he said that, because that's got some pretty good.
That was
practical effects.
Yeah, that was a Jim Henson shop.
Yeah,
that did that. Did the creature
Ringu?
Ringu.
Ringu. And what's the other one?
Juan.
Yeah, both of those have some amazing practical effects.
I would say Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Also, I would put that in there. Although the really excellent wire stunts, the wire
that's
effects.
What, yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. That's, yeah, and we lots have of wire.
A lot of wire effects in the Shaw Brothers movies, if you want to go down that path as well. But yeah, those are like elevated forms.
Matrix.
Iron Monkey.
Matrix movies.
Matrix.
For the wire work.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good combination. Again, I like that. I like that word, you know, it's all assimilating, you know, together and using it in conjunction pretty soon AI will take it all over. So,
yeah, I would say that Nightmare on Elm Street does a bunch of effects over
there.
No, you're right.
That are pretty crazy.
That whole scene where he's walking down the alley and his arms are really extended. It's like in the silhouette. That was.
Yeah. I like the pizzas, the meatballs on the pizza.
Yeah.
You know, they're all faces. I'm like, these stabs on. That's a spicy meatball.
Well, I like when his face stretches out of the television, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's just a rubber effect.
Videodrome.
Gadfly.
Yeah.
Dinner at Muldooney's.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of practical effects in that movie.
I was involved in most of them.
Yeah, most of them.
Most of the messy ones.
Yeah.
I got my hand buried in the mush and had to do this thing in it. And then I had hamburger face where they laid me on the floor and put hamburger all around my face. And I had to,
Like you're in a
spaghetti. I'm a vegetarian. What?
That's definitely a whacked out film.
That was
Dave made a maze.
Yeah,
Dave made a maze. I was thinking of that too.
Yeah, all practical. I love the puppet scenes. So everyone becomes a puppet. Yeah. You know, that's brilliant. Yeah,
Strawberry Mansion had a bunch of that stuff.
Yeah,
Hundreds of Beavers. You know, even though there's
Hundreds of Beavers is a good example of weird
combination
practical effects with.
Yeah,
very good.
The Holy Grail, Life of Brian.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. A lot of theirs were had a lot of
that armor was just knitted. It wasn't metal at all. That was someone knew how to knit or something, and that's they're all made of wool.
Nice.
Wasn't the coconuts because they couldn't afford horses?
Yeah, they had coconuts. But so they're all the coconuts.
That was awesome.
Necessity is the mother of comedy.
Yeah, the Black Knight scene. I just always hysterical. Your arm's off. No, it's not. Just a flesh wound.
It's only a flesh wound.
What's your favorite color? Orange? No, blue.
It's got fangs and everything.
And we see a lot of practical effects in The Princess Bride.
Yep.
We're talking about adventure and action.
Yeah.
And Willow.
Climb up. Willow, right?
Willow's a good one.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. Except
Terry Gilliam, man. Just Terry Gilliam in general.
Johnny Depp really had his head shaved by Hunter S. Thompson every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
He shaved his, so he literally was walking around with that haircut forever.
That's nice.
There's so many things. What is it?
Oh, yeah.
Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
That monster, the arch nemesis with that looked like a predator.
The Krell. Oh, no, that's the Krell. Sorry. Yeah. Right.
The Krell.
Right.
Yeah. I could only tell by the shape of the doorway.
It moved kind of like the way the creatures in Black Lagoon, the gills would move. Like when he moved, I think that was an inspiration. The creature suit, and that's because his gills and frills, things would stick up. Yeah, that was really
good. Also had the makeup on, what's his face? Alan Rickman.
By Grabthar's Hammer.
Yeah, by Grabthar's Hammer.
The void, the creatures that kind of were like, that transformative, it was Lovecraftian. Have you seen The Void?
Yeah, I watched it with you.
I thought the creatures looked creepy to me. But that was all practical effects. That was just
there's so much. I said The Wizard of Oz, you got all kind of practical effects.
A lot of good, that tornado scene. I can't stand the movie, but I can admire it for what it looks like and its effects and how beautiful some of the sets are. I still love seeing the Emerald City, and I love when the smoke comes up, how thick and green it is. Mm-hmm. You know, there are things about the movie I love, but I just can't stand watching it.
When you get Willy Wonka.
Real lickable wallpaper.
Yeah.
Well, I know that the chocolate river smelled terrible. Yeah. Because of what it was used to make it, and the hot lights. It was just really, sometimes it just smelled awful.
So I guess this gloop was stuck in the pipe. That's why it's done.
Yeah.
Well, in Babs in Toyland, I mean, they had a bunch of cool stuff in that, that old one. A lot of practical effects in the Three Stooges movies.
And cheap.
Oh, God.
We call those practical effects.
Practically.
Practical. Yeah. All right. Anybody want to weigh in with any more? We probably missed a bunch of them, but I think we hit
some.
We could go on with this
when you think about it. you know, practical effects are in just about every movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just to what degree, and what I, and the fascinating parts was we touch on them because it's more and more coming. We could probably even dive even deeper into that, like with people like Guillermo del Toro's work, stuff like that, and the, and just the whole combination of the digital with the practical, which I like a lot, you know, and it's just interesting how that all works, you know.
Or Hitchcock, you know, I mean, we could talk about him. We could talk
about, I like the build up to it.
Citizen Kane uses tons of practical effects.
Citizen Kane, inventing practical effects.
Elephant Man, just all sorts of stuff.
There you go. Yeah, David Lynch had practical effects all over the place,
and David Cronenberg.
Cronenberg.
There's
the amount of practical effects in the original Dune with those sets and stuff.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know,
seen the Guild Navigator.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I said. That's
And who did that? That's the guy that did. He built a big King Kong, and E.T. Carl Rimbaldi. Is that his name? He built like a, he was like the animatronic stuff. That was his specialty. He did like some Hercules movies. And then he, like, I remember him doing E.T., I think. And he did like this. Yeah. And Kong, which was supposed to be the big, don't you remember that when they first did King Kong, the 77? They built the big robot, the big.
Yeah.
Made a big thing. That was him.
Jessica Lange. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Horrible. Well,
I'm going to finish on a bright note here. We cannot forget The Giant Claw or Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Well,
talk about,
I think we could call that impractical effects, but yes.
Well, I would include Giant Gila Monster in that.
Sure.
But it was cheap. And my lizard was hungry.
All right.
Oh, yeah, back to out.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say!
That fucking transition was seamless. Jerry, out! Intro and outro song by Red Man called Force of Nature. And you have been experiencing
a force of nature in itself.
Radio.
That's a farce of nature.
That's what I said, a farce of nature.
A farce of nature.
Would it really be a farts of nature?
In some occasions, yes.
Quite ghastly. Oh, yeah. UnsaneRadio.com. Unsane Radio is on Facebook. Unsane Radio.
Yo.
Tar and Feathers Psycho Cinema has a YouTube page. Go look it up. We got a bunch of movies on there. They're kind of cool. They're groovy.
Daddy-o.
Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on Facebook. Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on YouTube. Montag Lewis Woodward on the Instagrams. We've got the heavy and the metal and the horror, and it's all coming your way.
Yeah, you're burning up the track right now, aren't you?
Yeah, we're burning it up.
Yeah.
That's right. Recording episodes, laying down. That's right. Making bank, bro.
There you go.
WEEFREEEKZ. Somewhere on Facebook. Spelled something like that.
We Freaks Friendly. Freckles.
Friendly?
Oh, Friendly
fruit flavored.
All I got to splat. Sorry, you I've been reading Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll. Carroll. It's frumptious.
The Midnight Gadfly is working on the sequel to White House Down, the action film. It's about Al Roker when he visited the White House and shit his pants. We call it White House Brown. Because of the shit, not his skin color.
Of course you would, yeah.
That's a true story. He really did shit himself in the White House.
That's awesome, Al. Uncle Al, making Cleveland proud.
And it's not all that surprising.
Just every now and then there's TMI.
Too much information.
Oh, that is the bane of this age. I'm sorry.
No, Dr. Tarr, I'm bane.
That's my new T-shirt.
Of this age.
TMI.
Sorry, Red Man, but this song went south pretty quickly.
It did, didn't it?
I feel like I'm in Sweden somewhere, just frolicking amongst the aurora. I don't know what. It just.
Jerry is a practical effect.
Practically.
Practically impractical. Let's see if it picks up. After the break, let's see if it picks up.
Can't win them all, Jerry.